Howdy, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. So glad to have you here. Now, for this episode, I'm going to start off with one little single word. Change. A little word that holds a lot of weight and a lot of meaning, and ultimately is a crucial element of life. I mean, times change, seasons come, and they go within a span of a very short time sometimes. For instance, this year, it kind of feels like our summer just was here for a moment and then was gone in a flash. And it goes like that sometimes, but change is always going to be there. And people change all the time. So many things revolve around the concept and the little word of change. And you guessed it, dancing is no different. Dancing has been going through multiple changes for goodness knows how long, probably longer than we've ever been around. But we've seen some great changes and we've seen some not great changes over the course of the time that dancing has been around in our culture. So, and right now, country swing is going through just such changes as we speak. I mean, it's kind of crazy the ways things are going. Now, to kind of dive more into our topic for today, the question I have to ask in regards to this is, how is country swing changing? Now, for those of you who are listening to this and don't have really any context, I'd like to give it right now. So, the most recent term for anything going on within the country swing world and how it's progressing into what it's becoming now, the term that's often thrown out there is described as evolved. People say, oh, this is the way the dance is evolving into what it's becoming, or this is how this step is evolving from this most recent one. Now, here on this podcast, we want to be frank and open about things. And I think we're about to be meeting with probably one of our first unpopular opinions, but it is an opinion nonetheless. So I encourage you to stick around and at least hear us out as we present this topic here. And disclaimer, we are not out to change anybody's minds. We are not out to push people to accept something that we think is right, but we encourage you to take the information that we are gleaning for ourselves and consider it in your life and to the dancing scene as well. So the opinion that we are presenting is that what is really happening? Is dancing actually evolving? Or maybe has it done something different or something that people maybe don't recognize as what is actually happening? Namely, is it possible that the dance is actually adapting? So we'll be diving into this question on today's episode of the Dancing Country Podcast. This is the Dancing Country Podcast, where we cover all kinds of topics related to country dancing.
Join us as we discuss unique concepts and ideas that can be applied both to the dance scene and to your personal life as well.
So grab your cowboy boots. Let's hit the dance floor. Again, welcome to the podcast, everybody. I am your host, Mr. Dan the Dancing Man, and as always, I am so glad to be here and discussing all these concepts for you guys today. And with me in studio today is my lovely wife and queen of the dance floor, if I do say so myself, Miss Boot Scootin' Joe. How are you doing today?
Hello, I am doing well. Quite excited about this topic as well.
It's certainly interesting, for sure. And again, something that people probably don't think about as much, just because the word to describe it, evolved, is very popular in our culture. And so when you think of the type of change that happens within anything, dance included, oftentimes people's minds are triggered to think that word, right?
I agree very much. I I agree. It's not just limited to the dance world. I think it, my opinion is that evolved is overly used in our culture at large. When I understand what people are talking about, I just don't think that is the best word to describe what they're actually meaning.
Yeah. And so today, our mission, and just describing this episode in general, what we're going to do is we're going to look through the definitions of evolved versus adapt and what those look like in reality, because they are actually different. And then we are going to answer the question of whether country swing has evolved or adapted, or at least give our best educated guess as far as what it actually it's done. So, and then also we're going to look at some practical examples in the dancing world of how some things have technically evolved versus how a lot of other things have adapted. And again, before we go on, it's really important that in order for this podcast to gain any momentum, that you like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends, because we want this information to get known. We want to connect with you guys. And so please give us a like, and we appreciate it very much. Okay, moving on to our very first section, which honestly is very chock full. We are talking about the difference between evolution versus adaptation. And these are just definitions. We're not definitely getting into evolutionary theory or the biological meaning of it. We are just looking at the upright definitions of them. And you're going to see some biological definitions in here because they do fit the topic. But we are not out to disprove the evolutionary theory with this episode. We are only out to
apply it to dance.
Yeah, we are out to apply it to dance. So, very first questions is, well, actually, it's not really a question. It's more of a general statement, is the fact that evolution and adaptation are often used very interchangeably over the course of time. And I can understand, disclaimer, they are very similar words with very similar characteristics as to what they mean, but the disclaimer is there are some key differences how each one actually works. So we are going to look into those differences right now. And first up, we're going to take a deep dive into talking about evolution, or the word evolution. So we're going to be throwing some definitions at you here. First and foremost, we have the standard Webster's Dictionary explanations and definitions for this word. The first one up here is, in regards to evolution, a process of change in a certain direction. I mean, pretty straightforward. The next one on here is the action or an instance of forming and giving something off, which I'd say, again, still pretty vague in the grand scheme of things.
That could also be a little bit up to interpretation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking there. A third one would be a process of continuous change from a lower, simpler, or worse to a higher, more complex, or better scale.
State.
Now, state?
That says state.
Right. So, honestly, that's something that is pretty common within the realm of using this word, is oftentimes described as change into something better. That's what I've often heard it used as. And then finally, coming to the fourth definition by Webster's, is simply descent with modification from pre-existing species. Cumulative inherited change in a population of organisms through time, leading to the appearance of, here's some key words here, to the appearance of new forms. The process by which new species or populations of living things develop from pre-existing forms through successive generations. So right there's a little bit more of an example used for like biology, but it gives us a kind of a key hint there to the actual meaning of this word. Again, I want to hit on that. It talks about new forms. Moving on to some of our other references that we have looked up from vocabulary.com, the term evolution is defined as like undergoing development or to work out. Like an example of this would be making something, again, new, such as a product or mental or artistic creation. Cambridge Dictionary defines evolution as to develop gradually or to cause something or someone to develop gradually. And then let's take a look at the word develop, because that's used a lot within this particular bullet point, is to cause something to grow or change into a more advanced, larger, or stronger form. Again, kind of leading back to the original like biological idea with the use of the word. And then the thesaurus for this word actually gives us a kind of a broken down version of evolution, and that's simply to make different. And so if you want any of these resources we're talking about today, by the way, these links we will have posted in the show notes for you after you go and listen to the podcast. So be sure to give those more of a listen if you, or more of a view or deep dive look if you're interested into looking into these concepts for yourself. You want to take on adaptation?
Sure. So starting with Webster's, adapt says to make fit as new, as for a new use, often by modification. That's quite interesting because it does use a few different words in there. New use, but often by modification. I want to come back to that modification at some point too, because I think that's an aspect of change, whether it's applied to evolution or adaptation. It also says, a composition rewritten into a new form, example, a screen adaptation of a novel. So it's pretty straightforward there, just a different form of essentially the same thing, right?
I mean, we have plenty of those, I mean, adaptations of books into movies specifically. My favorite, Lord of the Rings, to this day, and we have good adaptations and bad adaptations. I've seen some writers of movies completely destroy and demolish a book with their screen version of it, and it's just like, that's not cool, man. Try to stick to the story, but that's another thing entirely.
Yes, good point. Anyways, they're essentially the same storyline, or supposed to be, but a different format of portraying that. Mm-hmm. And then third definition from Webster is modification of an organism or its parts that make it more fit for existence under the conditions of its environment. A heritable physical or behavioral trait that serves a specific function and improves an organism's fitness or survival.
Deep.
Yeah, also coming back to that biological side. Yeah, I think this is really interesting stuff. Then we get to Cambridge Dictionary. It says, the process of changing to suit different conditions. That word conditions there we have highlighted as a something to pay attention to as well. That are the conditions perhaps a factor in this? Is it all one way, or is it perhaps, I don't know, is it so complex, or is it rather simple? Maybe is another way to say that.
Yeah.
The second definition from Cambridge is something produced to adjust to different conditions or uses or to meet different situations. I like that definition. Then we have Britannica says, in biology, the process by which a species becomes fitted to its environment.
Again, that one is that those last string of words is highlighted, kind of a key element there.
Yeah, I like that. I think that does kind of really help showcase a little bit the difference between, at least for face value, between evolution and adaptation perhaps being more an adjustment, I think the word that I would use, an adjustment to a current environment or situation.
Yeah, I agree. So with all of those basically definitions put in place, and we've gone through all of them already, the question we need to ask is, what is the difference between the two words if we boil it down? So what we've come to the conclusion of is evolution takes something and it changes it into something else entirely.
Yep.
With adaptation, the something, whatever that might be, stays the same, but simply changes so that it is better suited to the environment which it is now in. Again, evolution is more of the result of internal or complete physical change, whereas adaptation is more the result of external or just having adjustments of like parts, maybe not even of the whole either. Yeah.
Just of a whole physical change.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's really well explained. I think another way that I would simply clarify that is that I think of evolution as a change from one kind, you could say a kind of a species, to another complete kind of a species, such as a whale and a mammal. Or, sorry, that's not a good example.
Yeah, that is a mammal.
But a whale and a dog, a four-legged creature, you know, versus adaptation being staying within your kind, like the dog species, you know, maybe there's a lot of variations in that kind of species, but they're still of the dog breed.
Yeah. Again, we gave this disclaimer in episode one of this podcast that we are Christian. So we actually do take a different stance on how we view the world and how it came to be. And frankly, we don't believe in the concept that anything has actually physically or biologically evolved into something. But if you're on that same page and you want more good resources as to why that is truthfully the case, we actually recommend Answers in Genesis. They have really good resources and content to better explain how the world came into be through the creation model rather than the evolutionary model. We'll have that link to their Spotify podcast, which is the Answers News podcast on Spotify. So you can go and listen to that. They do a little bit of deep dives into certain things.
Yeah, it looks like you have said here too that show in particular did talk about variation within a kind. They also really highlight this concept of change within a species or a kind, but not a complete change to a different kind.
Yeah, for example, an example I heard years ago in a video that I watched, I unfortunately could not find this video no matter how hard I tried, was some scientists took some foxes, a certain breed of foxes, and basically started domesticating them. And over the course of a few years, actually, these foxes started to behave different and look different. And so the video was actually defined as like evolution being observed, but in reality,
as if it was proof or evidence.
But in reality, it was kind of not a good example because, again, it wasn't a change into a different kind. So that's technically not evolving, it's adapting
to the circumstance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think, like, another way that I could perhaps illustrate this personal example that came to mind is like, you know, like growing up, a lot of children will like play, like pretend like they're animals and stuff like that. I know I used to do that a ton with my friends. And so, for example, like maybe if a person pretends, I'll just back it up even, a person spends a lot of time around a certain animal, maybe like a dog, and spends a ton of time with them, lives with them, you know, knows the ins and outs of how dogs behave and all that. They're still a person, right? It doesn't make them a dog. And if you take it then a step farther of behaving like a dog, maybe running around on all fours, barking, pretending, all this stuff, does that make them a dog? I guess you could even look at that as a further example, again, in our society currently, as identifying as something that you are not. And just because you behave like it, act like it, change your behavior, does that make you a complete change from one kind to another kind? Well, to me, the answer is obvious. But so the point being, that doesn't actually physically and completely make a physical change from one kind to another. So I think I think that's pretty clear.
I think it gives more of a good example of adapting, like somebody trying so hard to become something else that they do whatever they can to try and change themselves. But in the end, it's still adapting. Mm-hmm. So
here's another really simple example. If anybody moves to Montana from somewhere that is not like Montana, what are they going to learn really quick? That we have harsh winters, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to do what? Adapt to the climate by preparing in the ways that are necessary so they can survive and hopefully thrive. But they haven't, I wouldn't say that they have evolved or improved. They haven't become an elevated or new version of themselves. I mean, they're probably different than they were the year before. You know, we all change a little bit year by year, but they're just in a different climate and they've adapted.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even just something that's characteristic to moving from another state to Montana. That can actually apply within the state of Montana too. Because, like, yeah. I lived in Northwest Montana, way up further north, and we either had winters that were, like, really dry, but honestly, on a quite more often, we had pretty big dumps of snow. And we were socked in with clouds almost for 4 months, usually straight, with hardly a day of seeing the sun. Whereas moving down to Bozeman in my later years, like my early 20s, I was very surprised to see how much the sun shone down here, even with the amount of snow that we got. So that was a big change. But even moving out to Livingston, too, there was even another change in the fact that we now have to deal with snowdrifts because we have a ton of wind out here. Mm-hmm. And so it just blows snow everywhere. In fact, there'll be bare patches of like grass just barely peeping up above a fine layer of snow. But then all of the rest of the snow is just dumped onto the place you have to drive. And it's just like, come on, really?
The challenge of snow.
There's no choice then but to adapt.
Well said.
Again, that was a lot of definitions to go through, so thank you for hanging out with us and enduring this with us. And again, we will have all of these links to all these resources we talked about in our show notes if you want to go and visit that later. Now, on to point two. How exactly is country swing changing? It's honestly taken us a while to get to this point, but I think we've done a good job.
Had to lay some good groundwork.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we even mean by these words?
Yeah. So in order to start exploring country swing in and of itself, I think it's better to take a larger umbrella view of just defining dancing in and of itself. So here we are with some more definitions here. The first one here is to move one's body rhythmically, usually to music, to engage in or perform a dance. And that comes from Webster's Dictionary. Some other ones are to move rhythmically, usually to music. There that is again. Usually prescribed or improvised steps and gestures. And then another one, the music composed or played for a certain kind of dance or for a particular dance. And this one was from the freedictionary.com. Again, those will be in the show notes.
Yeah, I think what's really just, I'm sure you're going to dive into this, but just to quickly point out, like you said, played for a certain kind of dance. So music that is played sounds to me that one thing might be informing the other.
Exactly. So in general, this isn't always the case, but in general, dancing is usually heavily based on the music or the rhythm that is being played. I mean, we see very common examples of this everywhere in the different cultures, not even just limited
broad genres, even.
Exactly. But hip-hop, even hip-hop. Yeah. But even looking back in time, especially like back to the Native Americans, like they would have dances to symbolize certain seasons. They would have dances to try and bring about certain elements. Like they would have a rain dance and a sun dance. And they were usually accompanied by drums. They weren't just out there just dancing just to dance. They had something that was driving it. I've actually had the privilege a couple times, Josephine, you have too, of hearing some of the authentic Native American drummers at the Montana Folk Festival in Butte.
Oh, yeah. I love that festival. Always such a joy to go.
Yeah, but just that drum beat. Oh, my gosh. Like, that just makes you want to get up and dance with them. Like, it's just so driving. So that's a good example there. And we can consider here that music would be an external element that can and inherently operates separately from dancing. But however, music can, all in all, facilitate dancing. Dancing does not necessarily facilitate music, even though there are some specific genres of dance in this day and age that are actually trying their best to work their steps to such a way that they create a rhythm. That's called, you know, I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's very interesting.
I mean, if you also think about tap dance, that kind of creates almost a musical sound in itself just from the way you dance.
Yeah.
So that would be a little bit of an exception. But yeah, I think like you're saying, for the most part here, music facilitates the dancing. The music that you put on informs, for the most part, the way that you're, the style that you're probably going to dance. And if you want to dance a particular way, you put that kind of music on, right? You don't put a totally opposite genre on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as we know, with this topic, music has been changing quite a bit, even within the span of like 10 years. And it's been changing long before that. I mean, I was born at the very end of the 1900s. You were born just before me. So we can't really remember much from that particular area. But the early 2000s to now the mid-2020s, there's been a great change, specifically not just limited to, but definitely within the realm of country music, as our style of country swing is currently danced to. There was an article that we found which was very helpful in reflecting some of these changes and is unfortunately named The Evolution of Country Dance by the online blog Our Music World.
How ironic.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to, this snippet that we pulled from it, it's going to mention the word evolved, but we're going to see some very interesting words that pop out here that are much more used to explain the change. So, and I quote from this article, "The history of country music is a testament to its resilience and adaptability. From its humble beginnings as folk ballads and cowboy tunes to its modern-day fusion of genres, country music has continuously, in quotes, evolved to reflect the changing tastes and cultural landscape of America and the world. It has embraced new sounds, rebelled against established norms, and transcended geographical boundaries." And again, we'll have that link in the show notes. But the funny thing is, all of those are external elements. All external. It's not necessarily something that within the song or the genre itself that is changing into like something else entirely.
It's still within the general country theme. Like it says, whether it's changed a little bit over the old cowboy tunes, folk, and modern day fusions, that's still all generally within the country style.
Yeah.
As it's, that's the point of the article.
And all other music is no different either. Like, we just got to throw that out there. This is not just in the world of country music. This is all across the board when it comes to music in general. It has changed over the course of years.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, again, if we compare that to our previous definitions of, like you pointed out, has this actually evolved or has it adapted? It even It even used the words cultural landscape, reflects the changing tastes and cultural landscape. Okay, what is that? That's a circumstance and an external factor. So it has adjusted to the culture, right? Perhaps the culture informed the music. People decided they liked certain elements more than others. And so the music started to reflect and show more of those elements. And so the music adjusted over time, right? It didn't become a completely new, different type of music. It didn't jump from country to rap. It's still country.
Even in though the genre, rappers are starting to appear within the country scene as well. I have personally seen one. I don't personally like it, but it is a change that is there.
Sure, but that's a different fusion. Mm-hmm. Like if we're just talking about just country overall and just rap overall, those are different styles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can definitely be blended, but you still don't see something but completely changed.
That's also an adaptation to the tastes of those people. Mm-hmm. You know,
it all depends on the external.
Because you elements. Can identify those elements as country and rap, right? It's not a different thing. It's country and rap together. It's not a completely new name.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they are coming up with a new name for it. But I guess the point is that you can identify those elements within it.
I think it's still called country rap to this day. Back almost probably 10 years ago, it was definitely still called country rap. And I think looking through definitions and stuff recently, it was, I saw country rap as still mm-hmm. being very prevalent. And so to bring that into perspective, it's very natural to take the guess that dancing has followed a similar pattern, that it has to change, it has to mold itself and adjust to the different changes that are happening within music. Just as music is going through these adjustments and these changes within this adaptability perspective, so is dancing. Dancing, too, is changing its shapes, changing its steps, and constantly growing and shifting in a different direction. It isn't inherently becoming something else, but it is necessarily changing so that it better fits what drives it, that being music. And so, bringing that all together with all of these perspectives in mind, what is the most logical conclusion to come to? Has it evolved or has it adapted? Honestly, for me, I'd say it's pretty simple, and I would say it definitely has adapted.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't see any complete evolutions here.
So then, a good question would be, like, is there any examples to be used to say that dancing has evolved? Well, we have some examples here we want to show you, and we have one that kind of fits. It's probably more under the general guise of adaptation, but it could be looked at as evolved as well. So, for instance, country swing versus the dance style hustle. It is thought, I have heard, that country swing has actually morphed out of the hustle genre. Now, hustle, just to give it a brief description, is very similar to styles such as East Coast swing and jitterbug, and is danced to very similar music, even though it did eventually morph into using songs like from the late 1970s, like disco era and like upbeat ballroom music and stuff like that. It is also danced in open position. However, country swing steps at one point were much more simplified and are now like much different than the hustle. In fact, worlds different, especially now that we're into the modern era of country swing. They've completely changed the look of how that goes. And for instance, country dancing is danced to country music, which is quite different from hustle music, like that big ballroom and the disco era. So in that instance, that can show some more characteristics of actually evolving into something else, whereas like it started as something with specific characteristics, but then over the course of time it changed into something so drastically different that it's not even recognizable as the hustle anymore. In fact, hustle is still something that is danced by a few people to this day. So it's still its own specified genre, whereas country swing has now turned into its own specified genre of dance as well. But at one point, the two shared a relationship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that history. That's pretty cool. I think another little point to put on here too is like you're saying that it did come out of this style and it became its own, which is a great example of something that's a new creation. It's a completely different dance, right? Now it is. It might have not been originally. But I just to pick on evolution real quick, briefly, I'm fine with those aspects of evolution being applied, that it is a complete and new different dance, but I wouldn't apply the part that it's advanced or better. I don't really like that aspect of evolution being applied to general things that they're often applied to in our society, because that implies that, well, that it's just better than the previous one, and just because we're moving forward in time, just because we're now not in the past, doesn't mean that it's necessarily better or improved. It might be, but it might not be, and that might also just be up to opinion or interpretation. So I'm not a fan of using that. I'm not saying you can't use it, but I just don't think it always applies. I think new or complete is more applicable.
Well, honestly, the idea behind evolution making something better is actually something that the second law of thermodynamics actually disproves. Now, very few people probably understand the significance of the laws of thermodynamics, but these laws are things that have been proven over and over and over so much that they are just concrete truths that we can definitely hold on to. Now, the second law of thermodynamics states that everything is going from a state of good to worse. Like, things degrade over time. I mean, we can see this example.
You can see it evidenced everywhere.
Yeah. Like, you can see it within the plants outside. Grass grows and it dies. We wouldn't say that's it getting better. That's saying dying off.
It doesn't forever continue to improve or grow.
Exactly.
It does die off. It has a cycle. Mm-hmm. Same with our bodies. Like, we grow and then we have a peak age where, you know, you're kind of optimum as a young adult and you have all this energy, vitality, you look great, all of the stuff, and you have a lot of life ahead of you, you have a lot of potential. And then eventually that decreases over time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the same thing with any items that we purchase, that we create, anything man-made. Like, it's great when you buy it, and then eventually it's going to lose quality over time, lose value. It might break, all of the things. Eventually it's going to end up in the landfill, probably. Yeah.
And so that law is just simply making it pretty clear that things don't naturally become better the longer they sit. I mean, have you seen an apple just sitting out for weeks on end and not being touched? Like, it will eventually start to mold and rot.
The only thing that doesn't apply to, though, is a good Chevy.
We don't need to get into the argument of Chevys versus all other types of cars, because even those cars have to get worked on. They need oil changes and stuff like that. Obviously. I've worked on plenty.
So I just had to put that in there.
Yeah. So that kind of wraps up this conversation as a whole. We have another point here. So this one kind of.
So we were looking at country swing and coming out of the hustle overall, but then we wanted to look specifically at West Coast swing over the years.
Yeah, this is an example of a dance adapting. It was West Coast swing was different 20 years ago than it is now. Now, West Coast swing is known for being kind of an anomaly dance, as described by Glenn Ball on his podcast, There's No Such Thing as Country Swing, but it's an anomaly dance for being able to be danced to so many different genres of music, which I think is kind of cool, but I personally haven't done it myself yet, so
I've danced it to a lot of different, as long as there's a beat, nearly anything you can dance to.
Yeah. That being said, though, it had to change its steps and timing just slightly based off of the styles of music played now rather than being so stuck with the songs that were played 20 years ago. So it has definitely become a different dance, but it is still referred to as West Coast Swing. It hasn't changed into a completely other style of dance entirely. So it makes more sense that it has adapted rather than evolved into something else.
Yep. Good example.
And so the key thing to remember with any of this information that we've talked about right now is that it's important to see the changes in dancing the way they make themselves out to be, and to be as accurate as possible to make sure we're holding true to the definitions that make the most sense when we talk about this change happening within dancing. Yeah, sure, we have different types of terms that are thrown out that are just on the tip of our tongue. It makes sense to us in the moment.
And people can generally understand what you mean, even if it's not 100% accurate.
Exactly. But I do feel it is important to take a deeper dive into this and not necessarily take what the culture says is accurately right and test it against all the other elements that have been proven true multiple times over and over, and then come back and maybe change the conclusion that you had before. Now, again, I am not out to try and change people's minds necessarily, or again, I like to describe it as forcing something down someone's throat. We are not out here to do that. That is not the point of this podcast. But the point of this podcast is to bring different topics to light that maybe a lot of folks within our community have not thought about before, and maybe cause them to be like, oh, maybe this is a different way to think about it, or maybe more specifically, this might be the correct way to think about it. Who knows? Now, if you still want to say that dancing has evolved, you're more than welcome to, honestly. Again, not out to force any opinions. I would just simply encourage you to take a closer look at this for yourselves and consider if that thought is still the right usage of what you really mean in regards to what you're talking about. Just like everything in this world, change happens. We may not like it. We may not appreciate what it does, but it still comes around. And we can learn from it and grow from it. Even if that means changing your opinion on something you thought was true, but then changing it, changing your mind, and changing your perspectives when the truth does come along.
It's a really good point that it is okay to change your mind, to gain new information, change your perspective. We're not bound to be stuck with what we thought. And I don't think it's good when we try to box each other in to those opinions, forcing, you know, not allowing people to change their minds. No, like, we gotta let people change. It's good. Let people learn and grow and change their minds. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And that concludes this episode of the Dancing Country Podcast. Again, thank you so much for sitting in with us and enduring this conversation and gleaning from this conversation. We appreciate your time being here. Please, again, like, subscribe, and leave a review in the podcast reviews so that this podcast will gain more traction and reach more people who desperately need to hear this information. And the way you can help, share this podcast with your friends. That would be very appreciated by us here. And if you want to hear about certain topics within the dancing world or within the meshed worlds we will be talking about to explain different topics, please reach out to us. You can follow us on social media at the username Big Sky Country Swing, both on Instagram and Facebook. So again, thank you for being here. We really appreciate your time. We're Big Sky Country Swing, and this is the Dancing Country Podcast. Thank you for listening. Keep on dancing, and we will see you next episode.